Good morning. You've tuned into 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, the Wednesday morning show for May 20th. And I'm Jack Peterson, not your usual Wednesday co-host. And I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just fine. Had a little bit sleepy. Had a late night and an early ride in this morning on the bike, but that invigorated me, so I'm doing all right.
Right there.
Yep.
Fresh air in your face.
As I said, I'm not usually here on Wednesday mornings, but we are here together.
And you're on the soundboard, so you're pushing all the buttons over there.
Yep.
We are going to run through the election results. We're going to hold off on some of the stuff we normally have at the top, like weather and things happening around town, in order to get right into the election results. And Jack, did you have a big old list of results?
I do.
Okay.
Yes. Off. I have a big old list of results here. Okay. Starting, actually with our federal elections. Let's start right at the top. This was the primary day for the parties, the various political parties, and there will be a election in November, but largely closely watched, especially where the Republican parties, where the Republican nominee ends up being the overwhelming favorite in November. For United States Senate, no surprise that incumbent Senator Jim Risch handily defeated his three challengers for the Republican nomination, winning about 67% of the vote total, and the other three more or less splitting the remaining portion of the vote. Russ Fulcher, the incumbent United States representative for District 1, won by an even wider margin. He will be the Republican nominee and won 78% of the vote over his two challengers. Not our district, but Mike Simpson, and also in our state, our representative from Idaho, also won, and he's the incumbent as well, with 63% of the vote. For governor, Brad Little faced a packed field in the Republican primary. Those candidates that he faced more or less ended up splitting the vote and securing the nomination for the incumbent governor, Brad Little, to serve another term. And Little won with almost 59% of the vote statewide. His closest opponent, Mark Fitzpatrick, got about 29% of the vote. And there were a total of, I think, seven challengers.
Yeah,
eight, including the sitting governor. And they ended up kind of dividing the vote. It had been just a two-way race, Brad Little still secured a majority of the votes in the Republican primary, but only by, less than 60%. So not an overwhelming majority for a multi-term incumbent anyway. The other statewide races were in the Republican Party were not contested.
We did have the Democratic side was
contested. Oh yeah,
For governor, and Terry Pickens won there pretty handily with 61% against three challengers. That's for governor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a bunch of races, as you were about to say, that were not contested, like the state treasurer, the attorney general. But the candidates there, both Democratic and Republican, will be going against each other in the general election.
Right. Let's see here. Well, let's move on. Is it time to move on to our the local races?
Yeah, I think that's probably the prime interest.
Yep, I think so. Yeah, most of our listeners are going to be interested to hear what happened in the state legislative races. For the Republican nomination, one of the more closely watched races in the state was between Scott Herndon and Jim Woodward. Woodward is the incumbent. These two have faced each other. I believe this is their fourth contest against each other seeking this nomination. And this time, Scott Herndon has secured the nomination and Jim Woodward, the incumbent, will not be on the ballot in November. The vote totals include, now this is a multi-county contest, so you have to include Bonner and Boundary County. The vote totals were about, there was a difference of about 1,000 votes. It was 8,182 for Scott Herndon to 7,142 for Jim Woodward.
Actually, I just got a note that it's a difference of 1,040 votes.
Well, there you are.
Because that comes into play with the next race.
Yes, an interesting difference, isn't it? The next race between Jane Souter and the incumbent Mark Souter for State Representative District 1, Seat A. These two are not related to one another, though they share the same last name. Jane Souter defeated Mark Souter. Jane Souter received 8,081 votes to Mark Souter's 7,041 votes.
Again, a difference of 1,040.
Exactly.
So I don't know if every voter voted just for that that pair, but it's stuck to it for all of it. But
yeah,
it's interesting.
It is.
And that, offered by one of our listeners, actually.
That's a good fact. There were an additional, also interesting that it's not exactly the same. Even though the difference is the same number, Herndon received more votes than Jane Souter did, and Woodward received more votes than Mark Souter did. And I'm not quite sure why. Only about 100, just an interesting figure. For State Representative District 1 in Seat B, the incumbent Cornell Razor received 63% of the vote and defeated his challenger Chuck Lohman. Again, this is they have also faced one another previously. Razor's vote total was 9,355 to Lohman's 5,471. Let's see.
We should mention for all three of those races, there will be contested races in the general election.
That's true, and yeah, well,
for Herndon, for Scott Herndon, will be facing an independent, Steve Johnson,
mm-hmm.
And if for the seat A, the seat that Jane Souter just won the nomination for, she'll be facing the Democrat Karen Mathie, and then for District 1 seat B, Republican Cornell Razor will be facing the independent Catherine Larson.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see contested races in the general election there.
All right. Let's move on to the county results. We had a couple of county races that were contested. Running uncontested for District 1 was Steve Smith, who received the 100% of the vote because he was running uncontested in the Republican primary for District 1. He will be the nominee. The incumbent Brian Domke elected not to run. Domke is also a Republican. Steve Smith will not be unopposed in the November general election. He does have a challenger in Fred Arn. In County Commission District 2, Jeff Roberts has received the Republican nomination over Asia Williams, a vote total of 8,141 for Roberts over the incumbent Williams is 4,703, about 63% to 36% or so. For clerk, the race was between Roger Rudd and Spencer Hutchings, with a third candidate on the ballot in Joanne Guzzi, who withdrew her nomination before the election. Roger Rudd won that election, or won that nomination for the Republican primary. Roger Rudd with 68% of the vote, 7,908 votes to Spencer Hutchings, 2,396. And I think that was the only other countywide race that was contested.
It's interesting enough that Joanne Guzzi did get 1,200 votes,
almost, including on election. 11%. Yeah, and not all
even
of those were
withdrawn.
Yeah, not all those were absentee. There were there were, yeah, she received votes for on election day itself, even after her.
Yeah, either she'd folks that hadn't got the word she'd withdrawn, or yep. they were didn't like either of the other candidates.
There's that too. Yeah.
But we had County Treasurer Clarissa Koster. She was unopposed. For County Assessor Corey Gable, he was unopposed. And for County Coroner and Robert Beards was also unopposed. So those three, plus the clerk and the County Commissioner District 2, I don't think they have any opponents in the general election. But as you mentioned, Steve Smith for District 1 will face Fred Arn, an independent.
Mm-hmm. There are some ballot measures that were contested as well on the ballot yesterday. One that is going to be of interest to some of our listeners, the Lakeland Joint School District Plant Facilities Levy. They were seeking about $3 million for facilities, and the
per year for 5 years.
Thank you. and that required 55% of the vote to pass, and it did pass with 77% of the vote. But that I guess I should say this is only in Bonner County. I'll have to get the Kootenai County ballot totals as well. I wouldn't hold on one second.
Let's see.
I'm looking at
57% among
against
counties.
Okay,
it did pass with 57.26%.
No, it was against. It went 57 against.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
it's against. Okay, so if it went down,
right? I know. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay.
The local voters of there was only what. How many voters
it was
60
double digits,
votes total,
something like that,
in our county,
right?
That went for it, but it did go down.
Yeah. Okay. The Northside Fire Protection District levy, though, that one is decided entirely by the voters within Bonner County in the Northside Fire Protection District. They were seeking a levy, and that did pass. The Northside Fire Protection District levy passed. It only required 50% of the vote to pass, and in this case, they got 55% of the vote. 1,620 people voted for it. The two-year levy increase in the amount of $689,112 starting in fiscal year 2027. And there were 1,304 votes cast against. There was also a Selkirk Recreation District levy on the ballot. But that did not, it did receive a majority of the vote, but, did not reach the 66.6% threshold. It did not get the 2/3 majority that it needed to pass. It was 31-26 was the vote totals in that race. 31 in favor, but that did not reach the threshold. The West Side Fire Protection District was also seeking a levy, but they were seeking a permanent levy, not a two-year levy. And the permanent levy of $380,000 per year, because it was permanent, it required a 2/3 majority, not a simple majority, and that did not reach the 2/3 threshold. But it did receive a majority of the vote, 60% to 40%, more or less, 651 votes to 431 votes for the levy. So one of those levies passed, the Northside Fire Protection District levy, and the others failed. And those are the big, I guess, those are the big headlines for local politics, as well as the statewide races. There's more to say, including the precinct committeeman races that we can talk about.
Yeah. They had 20 contested races for Republican precinct committeemen. There weren't any contested races for the Democratic committeemen or captains, as they're sometimes called.
Yeah, it appears on the ballot as committee men, but you know the gendered term. But you can run it. It's open to either gender.
thank you for that.
Yeah. I guess first we got to define our terms here. We can read the results and then explain kind of what happened here. But this was a particularly interesting precinct committee campaign. Usually these are uncontested altogether.
Yeah, most often are uncontested, but. Like I said, we had 20 contested races out of 30 precincts in Bonner County. And there were kind of clear lines drawn between the more traditional Republicans versus the more conservative Republicans that I think you could line those up as the group that was the more conservative group that was the Herndon. Mm-hmm. And Scott Herndon has been president of the Bonner County Central Committee or chairman. Or the more traditional side that might be more allied with Mark Souter and Jim Woodward could roughly size them up that way. Because the Republican Central Committee did endorse candidates in these contested races, and there were a total of I think 8 races in which their endorsed candidates did not win.
Which will kind of shrink Herndon's kind of voting majority within the Bonner County Central Committee, where, as you just said, he's the chairman.
He's actually stepped down as chairman.
Because this election period.
I don't know if he'll step back in now, but he has been the chair of the Central Committee for a number of years.
Yeah.
So we'll run through those.
Sure. In the airport district, Anita Auret defeated her challenger, Melanie Almeida, who had been endorsed by sort of the opposition group or the Nathan Duff also ran in that primary. They all split the vote. It was actually a matter of 8 votes between the two candidates in top position, but Anita Auret came away with the title of precinct committeeman. In Algoma, Jerry Favor was running unopposed and won. In the Baldy precinct, Butch Horton, who was in that sort of challenger group, won the nominate, or it's not a nomination, this is the final election for precinct committeeman, and Butch Horton won with 66% of the vote, 257-131 in Baldy.
Or Adrian Quinn.
Yeah. In Beach, David Britton was running unopposed. In Blue Lake, Ann Wilder was running unopposed. In Kerrywood, Lana Santelli was running unopposed. In Clagstone, Roger Rudd, who's the nominee now for county clerk, won the Clagstone district over Wayne Martin, with Rudd receiving 311 votes to Martin's 138. In Clark Fork, Jensen Heisel received 171 votes over Dmitry Borisov with 141. Was Heisel endorsed by either party or not?
I'm not sure about Borisov. If he was
endorsed. Borisov was endorsed by the Central Committee. Right. I'm not sure.
Jensen Heisel, the North Idaho Voter Services, which has been supporting the more traditional Republican candidates, did endorse Heisel. So
let's see.
There's that split there.
Okay. In Colburn, Richard Neal ran unopposed. In Dover, Ryan Wells ran unopposed. In East Priest River, Wendy Eaton defeated Jeff Connolly. Connolly, a former county commissioner, the vote differential there, 5 votes, 202-197, and Wendy Eaton secured the seat there as precinct committee man. And if there was a Eaton was endorsed by the
central
committee. Yeah. In Edgemere, Douglas Patterson ran unopposed. In Gamlin Lake, Richard Townsend defeated Shane Terpstra and the votes there, 177 to 89.
And Townsend was endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services.
And in Grouse, in Grouse Creek, Ron Korn, sitting Bonner County Commissioner, defeated Barbara Schreiber, and he Korn will be committeeman from Grouse Creek, 330 votes to 189.
And we should mention that there was a Democratic candidate for the Democratic precinct committeeman, Emma Charlotte Stanford, and she got 29 votes. She was unopposed, but
there you go.
That's more typical. You hardly ever any races, and here's one person that stepped forward for the Democratic Central Committee.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the rest of everybody else we're talking about is Republican.
Yeah. In moving on to Hope, Travis Kiber came in ahead of Kim Peckham for, again, Republican Central Committeeman. From the Hope precinct, 215.
Kiber was also endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services. So I don't know if Peckham was endorsed by the Central Committee.
I have that list here. I'm not sure. Yeah, she was.
We're looking at different lists here, folks.
Yeah. The Humbird precinct committeeman, Matt McDonald, who has been I think he's been the vice chair of the Central Committee for some time now, and he received once again won and will be the precinct committeeman for the Humbird district over Jennifer Grieve, his challenger, 163 votes to 123 votes there. In Kootenai, Corey, is it Gabel? How do you
I say Gable, but Gable? I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It does look like Gable, sort of a little, not exactly like Clark Gable, but it's close. We'll go with Gable, and hopefully we can get that nailed down pretty soon. But Corey Gable received 253 votes to 162 for Don Holmquist. So Gable will be the precinct committeeman from Kootenai. He was endorsed by the Central Committee. In Laclede, Joshua Jones ran unopposed. In Lamb Creek, Shane Horlacher defeated Michael Fife for the precinct committeeman seat, 120 to 113 votes, 7 votes apart there. Shane Horlacher, or Michael Fife, was endorsed by the Bonner County Central Committee, but Shane Horlacher not endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services, I don't think. No. So an unknown quantity to some extent there. Out in Odin, Tom Cleveland received 313 votes to be the Odin precinct committeeman over Deborah Dawson's 199. In Old Town, Tanner Linton received 292 votes over Cameron Lacombe's 174. Of those two I just mentioned, let's see, Tom Cleveland was also endorsed by the Central Committee. In Old Town, though, Cameron Lacombe was endorsed by the Central Committee. Tanner Linton was not. Was he endorsed by the
no
the North Idaho Voter Services? Okay. In Priest Lake, Mike Nielsen received 68 votes over Hunter Storrow's 65. And Mike Nielsen was endorsed by the Bonner County Central Committee, and Hunter Storrow not. And in Sagal, Steve Smith, again, the new Republican nominee for county commissioner, defeated Andrew Key, 492 votes to 185. Key has been one of those, he's been one of the more vocal, I think, opponents of that faction within the within the Republican Central Committee, or at least he's one whose name you'll see under editorial, as bylined on editorials, kind of opposing the actions of the Central Committee at large from time to time. In Selly, the Chuck Lohman, who lost his race for Bonner County Commissioner, did receive the legislature. Thank you. But he lost that race, but he did win as committeeman. So Lohman will be on the Bonner County Republican Central Committee, 270 votes over Sean Morgan's 204. Lohman was endorsed for both of his races by the North Idaho Voter Services and was opposed. Sean Morgan was was endorsed by the Bonner County Central Committee. Cornell Razor ran for legislature and received that nomination. He won running unopposed in the Southside District for precinct committee man. In Spirit Valley, Stephen Truss received more votes than Jonathan Welch for Republican Central Committee men, and that's 321 to 189.
There's a Democratic candidate there, Christine Veblen Bishop, who was unopposed for committee man there.
And got 18 votes. Yeah. Truss was endorsed by the Bonner County Central Committee. In the Washington precinct, Tom Bakawi, I believe, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's one I've read in print, but not actually pronounced out loud before. But he defeated his challenger for that seat, Al Ribeiro, 382 to 135. Bakawi is another one of those more prominent voices,
and he was
kind of in opposition.
Endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services. I don't know if Ribeiro was endorsed.
He was. Yeah, he was endorsed by the Bonner County.
And in Washington precinct committee for the Democrats, Linda Larson was unopposed there and won with 90 votes.
In West Priest River, candidate Ruben Aker defeated Kristen Todd to become Republican committeeman. Aker received 133 to Kristen Dodd. She received 90 votes. And in that race, Kristen Dodd was the candidate of the Central Committee. Aker was not. In Westmond, Scott Herndon was running unopposed, and he won both of his races last night.
And the Democratic, there was a candidate on the Democratic side also, Robbie Gleason, running unopposed and won.
And out in Renko, Donna Griffin won the seat over Mark Banks on the Central Committee from Renko. 92 to 52 votes there.
And Donna Griffin was endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services. In all, there were 8 candidates that were endorsed by the North Idaho Voter Services that ended up winning, and there were apparently several candidates who weren't endorsed by either the Central Committee or North Idaho Voter Services that won as well. So it might make for some more interesting Central Committee meetings.
It seems like those meetings are going to be, interesting would be a good word for it. I think that there'll be, even though the kind of the balance of power hasn't shifted completely, there's a change in the
there'll,
people.
There'll be more dialogue about things, I think, is what we'll probably see as a product of the committee man elections there. So,
okay.
We should mention overall the voter turnout. We have 33,012 registered voters and 14,992 cast ballots. So the voter turnout was about 45%. That's less than half, obviously, the people that registered to vote bothered to do so. But I think that's a little higher of a primary turnout than normal. I don't have.
I'm going to see if I can find. We'd have to compare it, I think, for, you know, most accurately would be to compare it not to the presidential year, but the that midterm election. So that'd be going back to, I guess, 2022.
Yeah. I did try to check it out and didn't find the number for it.
I know that they have those numbers, but let's see. May primary election results. Well, you're looking for the May 2022 election results. From Bonner County, which is going to be there. They exist, but are they easy to find? Not particularly. It did seem to me like a pretty good turnout. I know, speaking anecdotally, I think the absentee ballots, those were slow, but I did go to my polling place yesterday and asked one of the workers there how things had been. And at my polling place, at least she said it had been pretty steady all day. And she's been a poll worker for some years, and she compared it in terms of the same day voter turnout. She said that it seemed like there was more people there for yesterday's election than the comparable election in 2022. Let's see here. We've got some, you know, there's much analysis to be done here, and I don't know if we want to get off it too deep into it here. I think you're while Chris is looking up those results, looking for kind of vote totals and turnout numbers for 2022. I'll just say that I guess the total picture here is that the field of candidates that was endorsed by the Bonner County Central Committee won, except for those precinct committee races, which were much closer. The field of candidates endorsed by the Central Committee won in a clean sweep. So the legislative district won, state Senate. Scott Herndon won. He was endorsed by the Republican Central Committee. Jane Souter won. She was endorsed by the Republican Central Committee. Cornell Razor, the incumbent, won, and he was endorsed by the Central Committee. Steve Smith, well, was running unopposed, but he was endorsed by the Central Committee. Jeff Roberts was not in the incumbent, but defeated Asia Williams, who is currently the county commissioner. Jeff Roberts was endorsed by the Republican County Central Committee. And for county clerk, Roger Rudd was endorsed by the Central Committee, and he also won. They batted 1,000 there on the state legislative and countywide races for the Bonner County Central Committee. And I guess did you find anything of interest there, Chris?
Well, I haven't come up with a hard number. It looks like a little under 10,000 people voted in 2022 primary in the May 2022 primary, but I don't have the hard number.
Okay.
So,
well, that'd be a good, it's, of course, population numbers
population
have changed.
Gone up a little bit.
Yeah, but it's,
we had a little higher turnout than normal, I'd say.
I think that's right. Yeah. If it was less than 10,000 last time and it was almost 15,000 this time, did seem like probably a higher turnout. And that's not terribly surprising to me with all these races were contested.
Well, not only that, we were inundated with campaign literature. I mean, they're getting us in the mailboxes. They were getting us in ads online. They were getting, I got a whole bunch of text messages. There was the Herndon versus Woodward race. Last time they ran was the most expensive in the state. I don't think most recent number I saw wasn't that it was the most expensive this time. I think one down in Southern California at the last reporting period, it had more money reported, but it was a lot of money to spend.
Yeah,
because both sides were being well supported financially.
They were
both locally and with out of the area PACs and what have you.
Yeah, let's see. I I hold in my hand a Bonner and Boundary County voter guide that went to every, I believe every registered voter, not just every, not just Republicans, went to every registered voter in the county. And there were two that went out. These were distributed and paid for by the Bonner County Central Committee. Chris, your thoughts on this? Was this, it looks like, obviously they were more effective. Would you say this was an effective tool for them?
Well, I think so, sure.
Yeah.
Because if you, you know,
seems like
your rank and file Republicans that, let's face it, a lot of people are not completely tuned in to these elections. And they're looking for an idea of who to vote for. So they go with trusted sources, and a lot of people will trust the Republican Central Committee. There was a time when the Republican Central Committees did not endorse primary candidates because they figure the Republicans can, you know, decide who they're going to move forward with the nomination, and then the Central Committee would support that nominee in the general election. That's kind of gone by the wayside. And you can actually understand why that is, because there are an awful lot of folks that are registered as Republicans that wouldn't be considered Republican, but because the Republicans' side of the ballot is where all the decisions are being made now, that people have gone ahead and registered as Republicans. And I think traditional Republicans, some of them are going to resent that and say, hey, you know, we got rhinos in here, Republicans in name only,
who
are impacting our vote decisions.
And I think there's merits to kind of both sides of the argument. There's no denying that there's like a sort of a concerted strategy or concerted effort among people who ordinarily would not vote for Republicans to register as Republicans and cast their ballot for, cast their ballot in the primary in hopes of affecting that, that nomination.
And having some say.
Yeah. Because
in who we're going to be represented.
There it is. Yeah. Is that it, to their argument would be that they just, they want to have some, that they want the candidate who most closely represents them to be the representative at the state level. And their most effective way of doing that is to vote in the Republican primary. And you already summed up pretty well the opposition to it, which is, I think that, the Republican nominee should be the one who most closely represents the Republican voters within Bonner County. And they would say that if somebody else wants to run, they shouldn't run as a Republican, I think would be probably what they say. Mm-hmm. Now that being said, I look at these results and my kind of takeaway is, Jim Woodward lost by 1,000 votes. He has been the incumbent. I don't think that, looking just at his biography, he was raised in Boundary County, I believe, in a small town in North Idaho. He went into the military for decades and achieved a rank of distinction. I think he was a commander in the Navy. Mm-hmm. Left the military to go and be a small business owner. Just biographically, this is what you would picture as a more or less the Republican demographic, mm-hmm. and it's if there's no room for Jim Woodward in the Republican Party, where does he have a home? That's not the kind of voter that you picture that's not the kind of, I guess, representative who you'd picture as a Democrat ordinarily.
As a matter of fact, you know, he says he's been a lifelong Republican.
The
party's kind of moved away from him, I think, in terms of becoming more ideologically conservative. And there was, the ton of stuff we were getting thrown at us as potential voters, claiming from the Republican Central Committee side that, he voted with the Democrats a lot. Mm-hmm. But Mark Sauter and Jim Woodward, you know, produced statistics that show actually they voted with the majority more often than their opponents did, the majority of Republicans.
Right.
Because it, down in Boise, it's split up there ideologically as well. And the traditional Republicans are still holding sway by a small margin, I think. And Sauter and Woodward were more in, you know, more concert with them. So you can look at it either way, in terms of the claims that both sides were making there and, you know, who was voting Republican more often.
It's, you know, I think you'd say, and I'll just use kind of Woodward to as to illustrate the point, because the Woodward and Herndon contest, those two have been going against each other for so long that they've kind of clarified their positions, I guess, a little bit. You know, I would just say, go on to say that, you know, Woodward's positions, he's moderated his positions on some social issues, but he's, I wouldn't say he's a liberal or by most definitions of that term on most social issues. He's just, you know, he's, but moderate, more socially moderate than Scott Herndon was. And I think perhaps Scott, supporters of Scott Herndon would say Woodward is a liberal. I don't think that's true.
That's not at all true.
I mean, looking at his voting record on a number of issues, I don't think that's true. He's just more socially liberal than Scott Herndon, but not truly liberal.
Yeah, socially moderate, you might say.
And then he was less interested in fiscally conservative.
Pursuing those kind of culture war issues.
Right.
He wanted to be more pragmatic, like, okay, let's take care of the stuff the government's designed for, like our roads and education. Herndon is, he pursues culture war issues like, guns and transgender issues that more conservative side tends to emphasize more.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think, couple of things we can, there's a number of things we can say, and it'll be interesting. I think on Friday, this will be the subject of our news program, the North Idaho News of the Week, and we'll have some analysis from local journalists on their takeaways from the race. But they were all up late watching the returns as well. We can't ask them to come in this morning.
Well,
and poor Zach Hagedon had foot surgery yesterday.
Yeah, and Zach actually would be knowledgeable about taking a kind of a global look at the state races and how the balance of power between traditional Republicans and the more conservative Republicans may have been affected in this race, and I'm not qualified to take a look at races in other parts of the state and how the legislature overall will be impacted by this vote.
Right. Am I.
Hopefully, I don't know if Zach will make it up here.
I know.
We're upstairs. He'd have to hobble up this.
I'll carry him. We will return
to this on Friday.
I would also say, this is, you know, something we've talked about it sort of obliquely on the show, but or on the news program on Friday. But they're really part of this in this precinct committeeman races and also in the for the nominations, where it was just head to head races in all of the. For all the legislative and county offices, there has been a relatively concerted effort. I don't know that there's any one person or even one group behind it, but in Bonner County, in Legislative District 1, and a comparable effort, I know, in Kootenai County, to kind of wrest control of the central committees and of the Republican Party organs, away from the more socially conservative and socially focused faction. That in at the end of the day here in Bonner County, that was ineffective in this. That did not prevail. in the May primary here, and I haven't looked at the Kootenai County results, but I would be less hopeful or less optimistic for that kind of a group to prevail in Kootenai County than I would be here in Bonner County. So probably more of the same, and it does kind of make me wonder where those voters, those politically active people, will direct their efforts. Looking ahead at November, where there are independent candidates, and then also looking at the future, will they try to raise another challenge in 2028 for or will they try to organize themselves as independents or try to become more organized within the Democratic Party or
traditional Republicans that have been sidelined by the new more conservative Central Committee are unhappy about it.
So
we'll see how they react. But, and as you mentioned, for the three races for legislature, they will all be contested in the general election. It'll be interesting, particularly with the Herndon versus Johnson race, because Johnson ran as a write-in 4 years ago and got over 40% of the vote as a write-in, which is difficult to achieve. And it seemed to be a measure that the overall population of voters was not particularly happy with Herndon. So this time, as an independent and having his name on the ballot, he might pose a bigger challenge to Herndon in the general election.
Right. And, I'd say another kind of...
Same with Catherine Larson. Well,
Catherine Larson is running as an independent. That's right.
As well.
Yeah.
Karen Mathie is running as a Democrat, which... lowers the odds.
I believe you're right about that. Woodward and Souter both received, as you said, nearly identical vote totals, 100 votes apart, but the exact same number of people voted, was the difference between them and their opponent. Cornell Razor, the incumbent, did win... By a larger margin.
By a larger margin.
Yeah. Which I think surprises me a little bit.
Catherine Larson will be facing him, I believe.
Right.
Independent.
But I think I was surprised that Chuck Lohman didn't kind of receive the same in the same range as Woodward and Souter. I expected that race to be a little closer.
Cornell Razor has been around entire life.
He's an extremely well-known name.
He's really well-known,
right.
And he's well-liked.
And he's personally, right. Yeah. I think that, the personal politics of it do still
you bet.
Carry the day. I know, I think the only people who really knocked on my door was the actual family of Scott Herndon. Came and they were, I think, distributing campaign literature, some of his daughters. And that was the only interaction that I had with any kind of door knocking people at my house. And I live just outside city limits out in Bonner County. Well,
I think
more wisdom. what do you have there, Chris?
No more wisdom.
Okay.
I hope folks stay engaged. Mm-hmm. Through the rest of the political process, we have a general election coming up.
I believe that's going to be a very interesting general election. I'll just underline that number you mentioned before, where Steve Johnson has run against Scott Herndon before as a write-in candidate and received more than 40% of the vote. Now that he's going to be on the ballot, it is going to be it's going to be a race. I don't think at least that one is not yet. Completely over.
And Steve Johnson is somebody who's lived here.
He's another well-known
as well.
Well-known name.
Well-known. It was a was an educator down at Southside School.
Mm-hmm.
We will see what shall come with that.
Mm-hmm.
As for it, what about the weather? We never did tell
good
folks
idea.
About the weather.
You're right. Okay. Let me pull up the forecast. I believe the weather forecast is
trending a little warmer is what I
it is and I think today, last I checked, today will be the last day that we have rain in the forecast, and it's only about a 20% chance of precipitation today. I think there's a chance of showers, they say, after 11 a.m. and possibly thunderstorms after 2 p.m. But then after that, mostly sunny, clearing weather and a high of 69 degrees today. Clear overnight, 41 is the overnight low, and then 71 on Thursday, sunny. And that sunny and mostly sunny forecast carries us through Memorial Day weekend. It looks like we have mostly sunny, high of 78 on Saturday, mostly sunny, high of 74 on Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny and a high near 67 on Monday, which is Memorial Day. Yeah, right now looking like a nice end of the week and a nice weekend.
Yes, hopefully that'll hold for us. And then I do see rain coming up next week, but we need this rain.
You need the moisture. You gotta have it.
Good, huh?
Yeah, it hasn't. This kind of rain that we've been having has been, you know, I'm one of those who gets sometimes gets a little bummed out by the constant downpour when it just seems like it rains for 4 days in a row. I can't, that drives me nuts. But the scattered showers every once in a while, a little rain, I'm all for it. I like that. That's okay. Nice.
Yeah, you can ride your bike in between the showers.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. Yes, it makes for bicycle commuting. It makes for nice bicycle commuting. And then you have that nice smell of after the rain on the streets. It's it's great. I'm going to look up one more thing, which is the Lake Pendere level at Hope, because it is visibly coming up. You can see out the window here at the radio station, our offices. You can see the creek level rising on Sand Creek.
Sand Creek, yep. Sand Creek is now inundated, which is nice.
Yep. We're currently at 2058.22. That's the observed lake surface level at Hope. Full pool is 2062.5. And let's see. Oh, we might... I have a public safety alert, which possibly could be actually interrupting our broadcast right now. That might go through the emergency alert system, but our online listeners at least can still hear us if our broadcast is interrupted, and we're recording the show as well. Anyway, we're about 4 feet shy of full summer pool right now.
Yeah, and
coming up. It looks like a week from now, the forecast is to go up yet another foot. All right.
And where there's a ballet at the Panada this weekend.
Hey, there we go.
Friday and Saturday, they have shows, and I can't pronounce the name properly, I'm sure, but Prokofiev's?
Oh,
got
yeah.
That? It's a Russian.
Okay.
It's a Russian choreographer, that produced the Kokolala Conservatory School of Classical Ballet is going to be doing Cinderella on the Panada stage on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of music happening around various venues in town. Of course, Farmer's Market is coming up.
That's right. And the Wednesday Farmer's Market has started as well. You can
go today and late afternoon for that. And then Saturday it'll be going on for the whole morning. And other things happening around town. Mm-hmm. You can check out the community calendars at krfy.org and click on the community calendar link that you see up there in the top bar.
That's right. Tonight there's a movie at the Panada, which I'll mention just because it's sort of interesting. This is a free film sponsored by Bonner General Health, and it's the M Factor 2, and they had a showing of the M Factor a few years ago. I wasn't sure how popular that would be, but I think it was actually quite well attended. The M Factor returning to menopause, and this is the M Factor 2. Perimenopause. Yeah. So, okay, if this is if something that's going to affect your life, you might be interested, and there will be a Q&A as well.
And it's at 5:30 p.m., so it's right after work, folks.
Yep, and it's, as I said, it's free, general admission seating. Anyway, here we are coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and
who do you have tomorrow on the morning show, Jack?
Ah, tomorrow we're talking to the representatives of the Bonner Community Food Bank. You may have seen in the paper that they have a new location.
They've acquired a new location. They haven't moved there yet.
Yeah, they haven't moved there yet. So I'll be talking to Anna Camp and
the
Debbie
new location
Love.
Is on Kootenai Cutoff Road. Is that right?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And it's a big, much larger.
Larger and probably easier to access, or at least for some people, easier to find.
Easier to find for sure.
Anyway, so with lots to talk about there as far as when they plan to move, what they plan to do with the old location, and I suppose sell it, but I'm not sure. We'll find out. And what the move will entail.
And do we have Hump Day Cafe tonight?
Tonight, I believe, Velma is officially back in town. I was talking to her and exchanging text messages, and I think she's going to start next week.
Next week.
Okay. So next week she'll be live on the air.
All right. Velma back in the saddle here.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think she's going to do her program tonight. But at 5 o'clock, though, Mark Terry, one of our newest DJs, is going to come in and sit with you for an hour. And he'll be choosing the music at 5 o'clock in cooperation with Otto, our automated system. So there will be a DJ here at 5 o'clock, just not – and then next week Velma will be in at 6. There you go. This is the end of our, I think this day is the last day for Know Your States, Know Your Community, the, series that we ran on.
A fun series to listen to. And kudos to you and Jim Healy for all the interviews you did.
Yeah. When Jim is back in town, he's currently out of the area, but when he's back in town, we might have to do sort of just a recap. Especially with him, he was, I think, he was the energy behind that one. But I was glad to ride along on his coattails.
That was all 50 states.
That's right.
We got people that live here that could tell us about the states they grew up in or lived in for some long period of time or were native to.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that tonight we are closing the series out at 8 o'clock with Wisconsin and Wyoming. Dave Reisenauer from Wisconsin. And Mike and Aslan Anderson from Wyoming, talking about the states of their origin. Mm-hmm. So tune in for that.
Did you speak about your state?
We had a full show for Minnesota. We had Julie Calamine, who's from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm from Minnesota, and then Patty and Woody Onan, also from Minnesota.
You guys ganged up on Minnesota, did you?
We did, and poor Jim was poor Jim couldn't get in the word in edgewise. Yeah, that's right. We did. Yeah, there was a lot of Minnesota talk.
I was speaking for Oregon.
Yeah,
actually,
that was a good.
I don't know if that's because you guys couldn't find another Oregon person, but that's the state I grew up in.
You were close at hand, and it was that was a good conversation. I learned something. I learned something about every state. I'm quite sure during the conversations.
And people can go online, KFY.org, and they go to the podcast, and they can look up all these great interviews and, pick some states they're interested in and listen in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess with that, shall we, it's 8:59.
Yeah.
Time for us to get on with our busy day. It's Otto's Eclectic Mix coming up next, right after Bird Note at 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and that's Chris Bessler. And this was our Election Day wrap-up. Join us again on Friday when I'm sure we'll be talking more about it.
News of the week. Okay.
Yep.
Bye now.
Bye.